fucking seatbelt always locks up on me.
Safety equipment is saving your life.
It's not saving my life. It's making it hard to escape from the car after we crash and there's a Bigfoot outside.
That's not where you want to be with the Bigfoot. In the car with the Bigfoot around.
No, I want to run away from the Bigfoot because that's my human impulse.
You can't outrun.
But I can outrun other people that might be maimed from the car accident.
I ain't running. You're going to get tucked into your blanket and buckle your seatbelt?
Yeah. Amy has car blankets for every car that we drive in.
That's fine.
And I didn't realize that was really a thing.
I had never heard of that before either.
But Amy taught me a valuable lesson.
Was that valuable lesson that car blankets are a thing?
It's that you shouldn't keep your car blanket in your trunk because someone might want it. Because I've had blankets in my trunk for a long time.
It's like everybody.
Right? Yeah, Kyle, I'm Kyle.
We're talking about Amy's blankets.
Amy, can you talk about... Did we hear Amy last time she talked on the podcast?
If she didn't talk like Amy talks, we'd probably hear her just fine.
Can you elaborate on your blanket obsession?
Loudly.
Obsession?
Powerfully.
Yeah, like help people understand your addiction to blankets.
I wouldn't call it an addiction. I'd call it a necessity.
Okay.
And everyone around me enjoys having the room temperature at negative 300 degrees Celsius.
It's like an Arctic wasteland.
So I have blankets to keep me warm because nobody else enjoys being warm.
Everyone else has already got their own blankets built in around you.
Yeah, around their bodies in forms of numerous layers of fat.
Subcutaneous.
Whatever that means.
Plenty of skin bones.
Oh. Subcutaneous.
We have a joke on that note. I'm just going to share this joke. It's funnier for me probably than anyone else, but when we throw the medicine ball around in the the classes in the...
There was a cop down here yesterday.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's fine. Slowing down. I don't like to go much faster than 25 through your hair anyway because it's always like hanging there, and kills people in the back seat. So we throw the medicine ball around, right? And people like to catch it with their hands like right in front of their chest, and then it just comes right back and hits them right in the sternum. So the joke, you know, we tell them the correct way to catch it, you know, you want blah, 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 on the end of that. But Tyler and I like to correct them with the incorrect way, which is no. You want those hands flat up against your chest. You want elbows completely out of the equation. Lock your back straight. You want to take that right off the sternum. The sternum is the strongest bone in the human body.
I mean, it's not like the weakest bone.
It's not a bone. That's the best part about it. It's cartilage.
Well, that means both of us are still right.
So that we've been trying to find the best way to phrase it. I want to start saying it. It's the strongest bone in a spine. Because it's one of those, like, it's literally none of those things. It's not the strongest anything. It's not a bone, and it's not in your spine. So I'm going to start calling it that, just because it amuses me greatly.
It's the strongest... It's
the strongest bone in your spine. It's like, hold up.
It's the strongest...
Hold up.
...membrane in your chest. No, because it is in your chest.
It is. And it is a...
It's like, I mean, but...
It's considered a membrane. I'm not sure how... Okay.
Well, I really suck at this game.
Yeah, you're bad at lying.
I'm good at describing things that already exist in a different, meaningless way.
This is just advanced lying. So anyway.
Sit Sock's Guide to Advanced Lying.
So what was that show called, the one you had me watch?
Escape the Night. So
it is a weird animal.
Have we talked about puzzle rooms or like
escape rooms? I feel like we can talk about puzzle rooms and escape rooms.
We might have already had
an episode. If Game Grumps can play the same game twice.
What game?
Contra 3.
They played it once already?
They played it... Aaron played it with JonTron like back in 2012, and then played it again with Danny just recently. They just gave up hard. And he kept saying in this second playthrough that he's never made it this far, and he's always wanted to play this game. And I went back and watched the playthrough with JonTron, and it's like, you got past this part faster than you did before. What are you talking about, you Jane, you ignorant slut? So if they can get away with it,
We can
do whatever the hell we want, especially because...
We're part of it.
Why did you do this? What was your...
You're going to have to get out of this lane, too. So
I know, but that guy went swooping past, and he's
look
like...
Look at that pup.
Here's a pupper. There's a pupper.
You see a pupper, Amy?
Sniffing.
Yes, the fresh air of puppy.
I can detect so many scents. It's the information superhighway.
Oh, God.
On the regular superhighway. Anyway,
That's how easily we can all get distracted in a car.
To be fair, it's been dogs and shiny things on the ground from day one. Literally from day
That's
one.
That's true.
Now that pipe plate we saw that one time?
Yeah.
If I care enough, okay, let's hope it's a slow day because I think I should do like a feature. Do you remember when we saw that shiny pie plate?
Go fuck yourself. I just did all the fucking clips from the 100th episode.
Alright, well, let's see how lazy I was. It really depends on... Whoa! That was cool. That's a good way to die. I want him to cross that white line and get a ticket so badly. Oh, please. They keep saying they're enforcing it, but they're not. Anywho, so it totally 100% depends on how, like, busy I am the day I'm doing it, because I will definitely
go back and
find that. I don't know how I'll find it. Probably with the tags. Popper, popper! This is a second popper!
Oh my god, it's a double pop highway.
Lady and gentleman, it's a double popper trip.
Like the puppy Super Bowl, but with, like, the highway and not puppies, just puppers.
Yes.
So, escape rooms.
Escape rooms.
So, Kendrick has never been to an escape room.
Nobody loves me enough.
Yes, that's true. I've been to one escape room, and Amy, you have also been to one escape room, right?
Over one.
And her escape room was one that was in Vegas, so it's way better than any other escape room.
There was, like, a guy with a chainsaw in there screaming at you.
So, mine was very simple. It was a dude who, like, apparently my grandpa died, and we
chainsaw,
went into
chainsaw and was screaming at you.
Fucking shit. Yeah, my grandpa's ghost had a chainsaw. It's not a haunted house. Escape rooms are generally not haunted houses, but they can be.
Oh, we talked about it in the context of role-playing. That's all we talked about, though.
Okay. The one I did was, like, my grandpa's died, and we had to find his watch that we really wanted, and it was hidden through all these fucking puzzles and shit. And we just barely got it after the time that was the best time. So
you went with coworkers?
I went with a bunch of people I game with, actually. Okay. It was a bunch of people I played board games with for a long time.
Okay, that's good. That's probably better.
Amy, talk about your experience.
Talk about escape rooms. Talk about pop music. Go on.
Mine was with coworkers.
I'm sorry for your loss.
And we were captured by Mongolian pirates.
Cool.
Those are the best, most delicious pirates.
Yeah, and so we had to escape the boat.
Wait a minute. Mongolian pirates?
Yeah, I think that's what she said.
No, I just want to confirm that, because I thought Mongolia was landlocked.
Well,
not positive.
Okay, they could have been.
Fine. It was some I would have
called them
Asian sort of thing.
I would have called them Mongolian pirates, because it'd be funny to me.
Maybe it was Bangkok and we all laughed a little bit.
Cock.
That's good. Bang. Bang.
I have a bracelet somewhere that tells
that
me
Bangkok?
What it was actually named.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Bangkok bracelets. Kickstarter Bangkok. Idea.
Too late. They're already on the internet. This guy cannot make up his mind. This guy.
Oh my god, this is how people die.
Oh my god, this is like. All right. Wow.
So
all
back right. to the
gotta
Mongolian
get that.
Pirates.
I gotta get that.
Oh my god.
That camera.
Oh yeah, but we had to break out of a boat before we got sold into the slave trade.
I'm on a boat. Did you guys do it?
Yeah, it was in the last 60 seconds.
Speaking of weird Las Vegas things and the slave trade, I didn't realize that behind, like, Amy said that this is like a thing, but there was like these stickers behind the door in the stalls in the bathroom at the Las Vegas airport that said, "If you're a victim of human trafficking, call this number." And I was like, what a devious plan for a human trafficker to put those stickers up.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I hope they're not that, but
right,
geez,
but what a clever trick.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, sorry.
Gotcha.
It was weirdly really relating that you did
a
human trafficking thing in Vegas. It was a 1-877 number.
Oh.
And then we saw those stickers. But did you enjoy it?
The human trafficking?
No. Did you enjoy being a human slave, Amy? No, did you enjoy the escape room?
I did.
What was, like, the coolest puzzle?
It was... So you had to figure out... There were these different die, and each die had a different color. And based on the color, you had to figure out a letter and then break the encryption code.
Hmm.
With a spinny thing.
A decipher key? Or
yeah, on the wall.
Oh, cool. I think ours was that you had to do... One of the cool puzzles is, like... they were never relating to each other, so it was kind of really difficult because you were, like... Oh, like, here's an empty thing of silverware. There's, like, there's three in the first one, two in the next one, one in the last one, and six in the middle or something.
And you jumbled them all up, and you're like...
Well, no, we did do that, but we didn't do it with the silverware. And it was, like, the code to, like, the refrigerator, and you're like, how are those things related again? Are we just supposed to try every lock and, like, figure out which combo works?
So, one of the things I want to mention is I never done a real escape rooms, but I done damn Bidja game ones that they's based on.
Okay.
Back when they used to make flash games on the internet. For free, and I had a job where I sat at a desk and waited for the phone to ring, and the phone never rang. So, best job ever. So I basically played every single game on Addicting Games, I think. But regardless, the they used to have those puzzle rooms. Like, they were a type of game on there. And so it was a combination of, like, spot the difference in the picture kind of stuff, where you're like, what's under here? And it was almost like the old Myst games, you know, those old point-and-click ones.
Myst,
like,
is
Sierra.
Like, Myst is like an escape room.
It is. But I think it's probably the way around, actually. I think escape rooms are like Myst, to be honest. Because I'm pretty sure Myst...
I meant like, yeah, Myst,
yeah,
is like
the... You get what I'm... It's the same. So I've played those, where you're like, yeah, you gotta go find this note that's on this island under this rock, because the guy said he liked rocks that were this shape, and so you know to look at this rock, mm-hmm, and then it's got a code on it, and the code's 27 numbers long, and you go back to this other place that's called the rock, but it's not a rock, it's just a building, but he calls it the rock in his other note that you got this other thing, and then you punch the numbers in, and then you get another clue, and then after a while you're like, why did I buy this game? But
yeah, that's kind of the... So
like, this microcosm.
Yeah.
And that's what those web games were like. Those little flash games were like, was the microcosm. It was like a room instead of the whole sprawling world.
And so escape rooms have vaulted into this, like, really popular form of team bonding. But they've also gone into other places. And so very similar to, like, Die PewDiePie or Kill PewDiePie.
Scare PewDiePie.
Scare PewDiePie, yeah.
Is it human trafficking? Is that where they went into?
Yeah.
Okay, this is getting weird about human trafficking.
It's because he's from like the Netherlands or whatever, and they were like the ones who started slaving.
I mean,
or, I don't know.
The Vikings took...
I'm only being
slaves.
Vaguely accurate today.
And I'm trying to correct you as fast and as hard as I can, and it's not working. I can't keep up. You're spewing inaccuracies faster than I can correct them.
He's spewing inaccuracies at a robotic level.
No, over 9,000 inaccuracies per accuracy.
That's... oh, wow, that's a lot of inaccuracies for accuracy.
What is it? Why is everybody being dickheads over here?
I don't know. I don't know.
I probably should have looked at the map first.
Cross it. Did.
Okay, that's saying enforcement active. Ostensibly, they're stopped.
Cross the lines, pay the fines. Dun, 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 dun.
Now, what I'd like to find out is that they've actually got cameras, and all those people are just getting automatic tickets in the mail.
I had a third, those weren't enforceable.
Huh?
Like, you get an automatic ticket, like...
Yeah, they are, but, I mean... If you don't pay it, you have to deal with it.
It's just collections.
Just
it's not court, right?
I think so. There's Did you see that over there? There's a whole clusterfuck of shit happening all up in there. God, everyone's mad. Why are y'all so mad?
I don't know, man.
Got smoke crack while you drive like
so me. So they've vaulted into this area of covering, like, multiple genres. So
what I'm talking about
is, like, video games probably started it all. Escape rooms have probably been a thing for longer than we thought, but recently there became a really big thing where you can go to a place and it's, like, full of different puzzles.
Last 3 or 4 years.
They have also started escape room-style board games, like when we played Amy the Time... Fuck.
Ops or whatever. I know what you're talking about.
So...
Why?
As a small aside, and I don't want you to take this personally, but... It seems to me that once something's had a board game made out of it, it's kind of jumped the shark.
Really?
Like, it's reached a level of cultural inundation where that's not legal in Colorado. You shouldn't be doing that.
Oh,
never mind.
Dad.
Okay.
But, like, I don't think I agree with you. Like, just in the sense that, like, you're considering board games your marker for that.
No. I'm not saying it's a marker so much as it seems like it takes a long time for someone to figure out how to make a board game out of a thing. And by then, it doesn't seem like it's fresh anymore. You know, like, you wouldn't have seen an escape room board game 4 years ago, right, when they were first starting, right?
I guess not, but they're kind of the same thing. Like, a lot of the stuff you're doing in escape room board games are, like, murder mystery dinners that come in a box. Like, they're puzzles in a box that you then act out around.
Sure.
So, like, these are just the same thing as that, except for they're not as role-play-y, right? Role-play-esque.
Role-playing.
Anyway, they're like one-shots. You don't play the game more than once because you can't. So you buy it for like 10 to 20 bucks, then you play it, and then you give it to your friends, and they play it, and they like pass it around. So it's very, very, very similar to like buying a murder mystery dinner kit or a like kind of one of those
things. I've never done one of those.
Neither have I, actually.
Okay,
I've seen them before.
Let's continue to bombastically talk about things as if we know what we're doing.
Well, I have seen the other games, and I have played the other ones, but... The other thing I was going to say is it's evolved into YouTube videos, and that's the other... So, like, they're going into these areas where you're like, oh, interesting, how are they doing escape rooms like that? And you're like, well, obviously on YouTube, they're just recording people doing fucking escape room puzzles, you...
Makes
dunce.
Sense.
Yeah, right?
You ignorant slut.
Yeah, there you go, that's twofer.
That's, thank you, Saturday Night Live, for giving me a really inappropriate joke.
Scare PewDiePie was very similar to, like, the kind of escape room thing, because the things they were having him do were escape room-esque.
Yeah.
Right?
But Markiplier was there for some time. So.
Actually, there was a bunch of different
people. Yeah, I know,
people.
But I want Markiplier to show up for my escape room.
That would be cool.
Or, like...
He seems like a pretty cool guy. Amy, what are your thoughts on Markiplier coming to help you with an escape room?
To help me with an escape
room? Yeah, he just shows up to lend moral support. Wouldn't you just feel so empowered?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're like, believe in me. I got this.
He's so positive.
I got this, Mark.
I love watching that guy play games.
Yeah. Anyway.
But the one we're about to talk about for the next 2 hours that we're stuck in traffic.
Stuck in the traffic.
This is going to be a 7-part podcast that we're going to
start doing Cossack-style dancing in the car where I just hop out and walk next to it and hop up and I hit the brake and then like, yeah. Only instead of a horse, it's a car.
You said Cossack-style and the only way I know that is ghost riding.
Okay.
Like when someone ghost rides their car, they get out of it and they dance next to it while it rolls forward.
That's basically what I want to do. Okay. But I'm going to do it in cool pants.
Oh, okay, okay.
And with lots more jumping.
There's going to be like at least 7 to 8 times more jumping than usual.
Absolutely. I think it's Cossack. Kendrick, future Kendrick, I'm loading you up a lot in this video, but...
Put a ghost riding video
and
then put a
Cossack. Yeah, find a ghost riding video and find a... I think they're Cossacks. They're called Cossacks. So go find that. You know what it is. Go find it.
I watched some video the other day where it was like, girl epic fails at ghostwriting. And like, she runs herself over with her car.
That's impressive.
It was amazing. And I was like, she was like, got out and started dancing and was like doing stuff. And she got too far in front of it. And like, it hit something and like, started rolling faster. And she just got like, pulled under real quick. Yeah. And I was like, oh, geez. Oh, Jenna. And you're like, how did the car not just stop if it hit it? Like... Well, and you're like, well, a car weighs a lot of money.
Well,
wait.
It's idling, right?
Yeah.
It's not just coasting.
Yeah.
So the idling is a low gearing.
So it's like still moving forward, yeah.
Oh,
you're right,
idle and push stuff pretty hard.
Yeah. That's true. So the thing that we started talking about was this YouTube video called YouTube Red Show that has 2 seasons now.
I'd recommend getting YouTube Red for the record.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to watch ads.
You can keep it playing while your phone is locked, which is a really weird but cool feature.
Yep. And you don't have to. I keep forgetting that YouTube has ads because I'm always on YouTube Red now. Mm-hmm. So then I'll open it on one of the tabs that I'm not logged into that Google account, and then an ad will come up, and it will jar me. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot this is how everyone else lives. But it's not that expensive. I mean, I get it with Google Music, so I'm only paying less than $10 a month for all of it, my music and my YouTube Red.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, fuck that. It's awesome. Keeping it. So, anyway, that's a plug. They don't get any money for that. I just think it's worth
it. YouTube Red give us money?
YouTube Red...
Or just YouTube?
Google.
Just,
you know, Google, give us some money.
Yeah.
Just hand out some fat stacks, yo. Is that... Did I use it right? Amy, you're hip with the kids. Was that right?
Fat stacks?
Make it rain?
Yeah. Dole out those fat stacks, bitches.
Yeah.
I wish you had your dash cam today.
I know.
Because watching what's happening on this highway is like... It's almost like an intricate dance of people who didn't know they were dancing around each other.
Yeah.
And they're like... They're all very... Seem to be... fairly aware of the things happening around them, but just incredibly dangerous at doing the things
they're
doing.
Oh, they're just astonishingly stupid.
Like, it's
like,
crazy.
It's levels of irresponsibility that are unsettling. I would move into that other lane, but I'm genuinely scared for my life.
You should be.
Because, like, I'm like, I'll go over now. Oh, God! I'll go, oh, Jesus, no, it's not happening.
So, this Escape the Night show...
Escape the Night.
...is kind of fun. So, the first season starts off with this guy named Joey... Gifliani or Gibriani.
Some kind of YouTuber who's got more followers than I'll ever have.
I consider myself kind of slightly, maybe
YouTube
partially
famous?
YouTube, like, educated. But then every time I sit with Amy and watch shows, I'm like, holy fuck, I know nothing about what's happening on YouTube.
There is more content being uploaded every day to YouTube than you can watch in your life.
I can imagine that.
I don't know if that basic assertion is actually even untrue. Okay.
I'm not really 100% sure who these people are, but they're apparently YouTube stars. Yeah. And they're invited to this guy's house who's doing like a 1920s kind of dinner party.
But it's not just that. It's in 1920.
Yeah.
Using a time machine.
Yeah. So he says you can only see the house if you're in character and you're dressed at the part and you like, you know, commit to being that part so you can't have your cell phones or anything
like
that.
And it starts with that, right?
Yeah.
And then as he's describing it, it escalates into, my driver will pick you up in his 1920s car. And you're like, that's kind of cool. This is also a time machine.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
And you can't leave until he drives you away or something like that. You're like, okay, this kind of escalated as I got to the bottom of this letter. This really jumped up a notch.
And like, it seems like everyone's like, okay, cool. It just seems like a gimmick. And then they get to the house and like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of like... weird, because they constantly are breaking immersion, but they're always in, so you're always, like, immersed, but it's... I don't know. I've never felt so internally conflicted about watching...
It's fictional.
Yeah.
But improvisational?
But apparently it's not scripted.
Yeah.
Or rehearsed.
It's like semi-scripted, because there's clearly bits that are scripted, and bits that can't possibly be extemporaneous, but they're playing it off pretty well. So it was an interesting experiment.
In the second season, they make a point before they leave the show to say, this is not scripted, this is not rehearsed. And I'm like, they must have gotten called out a lot in the first season for that, because they don't do that in the first season.
I don't know. But I don't know, because there's certain events that transpire that can't be, like, require certain characters to have knowledge about what was happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either creative editing, which is obviously a thing, but still, whatever, and that these people were either pulled away and told something and then brought back, or secreted something about their body at between one scene and another scene because
but
they've
all
got
that
stuff.
Has to be, though, it doesn't have to be scripting or rehearsing. It can be like, your character will not survive to the end. That's all they have to say.
But even then, I think it's honestly, it's as they're going. I think there are moments where they're told to stop. Like, there's a cut, and then they take people, like, they separate them,
mm-hmm.
and then they give them new information, and then they put them back in. Because there's also times they're like, then I saw a thing. And it's like, no way you didn't. You're an idiot. There's no way you saw
that.
Yeah,
they do that a lot.
And so I'm 100%, now as I'm talking my way through it, I'm pretty confident that it's, I suppose I could take a, no, I should not have done that thing.
I guess not scripted is not right, the way to say it. There's nobody performing from a script.
Yeah. That they're all being their character, you know, whatever. They were given probably rules to follow in the beginning, like, don't fuck with these things, don't break stuff. Like rules to follow that they're not,
like, don't punch
following.
The people.
Yeah, like, don't choke
nobody
out the
will actually
maid.
Kill you.
Yeah, don't choke out
the
creepy
maid. Because it escalates. Like, someone dies in the first 5 seconds, as they do. And then it starts to go crazy, like...
They bury someone alive.
Yeah, like, in the show, you watch them bury someone alive.
And
like,
so, I don't think that any of them think it's real.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a level of acting there, but I think they're also given very minimal prompts, like, this isn't real, but go with it.
And they have to, like, kind of... You kind of lose immersion a little bit every time someone dies, because you're like, it was so sad that she died, and you're like, you don't... What? Like,
that's not how people react to people dying.
Yeah, like, it's not, like, what would happen.
But it's not been enough for me to stop watching.
Yeah, I know.
That's
and that
the part.
That's
interesting.
And, like... I'll tell you all the things that I don't like about the show, but I will say that you should watch it, because I think it gets a little monotonous at times, because all they're doing is, like, looking for keys to unlock clues
or
looking for something
mannequins.
To unlock a lock. Or that was an interesting one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The challenge, so to get to the end of those things where they start voting for people are really great.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm sorry, are the boring parts, but then the things they do are really great.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the puzzles they do and all that stuff are
I
really
cool. I
like
the puzzles. But I think that they must be doing something where, like, they must be stopping every so often, and then they pull people away, and then they give them, like, put this in your pocket, or here's a blood cap to put in your mouth so you could die now, or something. Because there's parts where they just die, and they're, like, they're bleeding out of the mouth, and you're like,
you have not had
a blood pack in your cheek since the beginning.
Well,
there's no
effing
way.
And what you'll notice, and that you probably already figured this out, but they say that it's only over one night, but they actually film it over multiple days, so, like, each one is over a day, right? But... The only reason I figured that out, I guess, aside from assuming that was the case, was one of the characters in the first season says something like, yesterday I learned, and you're like, wait a second, you just fucked that up.
Yeah.
You just fucked this up, guy.
But again, it's got a loose improvisational feel to it, and as a Rick and Morty fan, I dig it. Even if it misses a couple steps.
And it totally, it's made me want to go to an escape room so much that I just want to, like, quit my job.
Are we going right now, then? We're doing it?
We were talking about it.
Going now?
But our friends can't.
Huh? Do you have to book those ahead usually?
You can walk in sometimes. Most of them have, like, a walk-in one if you're lucky, you know?
Okay.
I think, you can book ahead and should, but if they don't have anything open, they're not going to say no to business is what I'm really thinking.
Fair.
But
I just thought they have it, like, set up
and
there's, like, a process. Like, they don't prep it and leave it prepped overnight.
No.
Oh, but if we called ahead, like, 3 hours, we could get
another
one.
Yeah.
But we were thinking about doing that tonight, but, like, we can't. There's no sitter.
Yeah.
So, like, we were like, oh, if you guys aren't doing plans, we should do things. But anyway.
I don't want to talk about that on the podcast because that'd be weird, but I want to talk about that after.
Edit this out.
Edit what out? We have
the
to
whole
have a,
podcast
have start,
out.
Maybe there was something edited then. Maybe you don't know.
Yeah, that would be funny if you just started editing parts of the podcast.
I've done it now. I've been doing it now since the one at your Labor Day party, and I don't do a good job, but... I could probably do a better job if I put some effort into it. So you don't even know what's been edited.
I don't. I will never know because I don't listen to it after.
And no one does but Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Sometimes my mom.
Shout out.
But again, I don't want to talk about Game Grumps too much, but on the topic of the YouTube, I watched that old episode of Game Grumps from 2012.
Which
was 5 years ago, Contra 3.
Okay.
And it was interesting the dynamic between Aaron and John versus
I hate John. I can't handle him.
He's kind of annoying.
He's a little dickhole. Like,
but their dynamic is very different. And I find it really interesting because, like, Aaron is always being an asshole to Danny, like, just constantly. And he's always, like, talking down to him in a humorous way that's funny most times, but also it was really more obvious to me how different that interaction is. Because he's always like, no, Dan, I can't go, I can't do that, that's dumb. And then, like, after failing 17 times, he does the thing that Dan recommended initially. And he's like, well, I guess I just should have done that at the beginning. And you're like, yes, you fucking idiot, you should have. And it works because you're like, Dan knows what's going on, he's paying attention, and Aaron's an idiot. Okay, that dynamic works. But the John-Aaron dynamic is interesting because they both spout off bombastic nonsense, and then the other one only occasionally call him out on it, but then, like, in a weird, like, passive-aggressive, or, like, non-confrontational way, and it just gets kind of weird. Like, the dynamic is just weird. But I was also noticing, like, the quality of the recording, the equipment they were using was clearly not as good. They had some weird frame issues, like, the old Super Nintendo had some really weird rasterization. Like, or not raster, what's the word? Some of the lines are fucked up. Some of the shots weren't rendered. It was weird, the issues they were having. And then they didn't acknowledge them. And then it didn't have, like, the ending bit on it. The polish wasn't as good. Like, all the little details from the beginning to the end have been quite remarkable on the, like, the difference in how that...
What made you want to talk about that?
Oh, we were just talking about the YouTube, and I was just thinking about how the polish of the things. Oh, we were talking about the podcast as well. And how, and editing. And how editing, you get used to it, and you get better people at it. And it really can change the feel of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being well edited versus being shittily edited.
I agree. Like, I'm not good at editing. But I will say that if I go back and watch the first video I edited for Collector Mania, yeah, and the video I just most recently edited,
yeah,
I'm very happy with it.
Oh, yeah. It's good to see your progress. But it also made me want to go find Joe Quick and make him make more fucking movies, because he's been fucking slacking lately.
There may be something in the works that I'm not talking about yet. But
oh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Secret project.
Well, we've had like 3 projects die in the last year, so.
I have a problem with that.
With projects dying? As
being a person who's running it and writing it, so.
Oh. Yeah, well, if you can run it. The ones I've had him succeed on, like the teleporter, even the Cthulhu one to some extent, were ones that I fucking produced, so. Because, like, I had to give him, I mean, I busted out deadlines and made him do stuff and then yelled at him a lot. Kicked him in the shins, set his house on fire.
Whoa.
Slashed his tires. Accused him of being a human trafficker.
Oh, wow. Full circle. So, yeah, I guess if you're looking for a good YouTube series.
Yeah, check it out.
Fucking seatbelt always sorry locks that up on me.
Safety equipment is saving your life.
It's not Kyle. Saving my life. It's making it hard to escape from the car after we crash and there's a Bigfoot outside.
That's not where you want to be with the Bigfoot. In the car with the Bigfoot around.
No, I want to run away from the Bigfoot because that's my human impulse.
You can't outrun.
But I can
Bigfoot.
Outrun other people that might be maimed from the car accident.
I ain't running.
Well, that means that I have plenty of time to run, then.
I'm staying in the car where it's safe.
It's not safe because the windows are all broken.
The windows are broken. We can't fit through. Here's a Bigfoot. He's going to be chasing your ass running
away.
He's
going to grab through.
Yeah, but he's going to chase your ass.
Rip you out.
He's a chaser.
And
then
you're going to get eaten, and I'm going to try to run away and get eaten, and Amy's going to be the only one left in the car with her blanket and a blanket burrito.
But the blanket will have caught fire and fused to her skin.
Wow.
Making her a new kind of supervillain.
I'll be warm forever.
You'll be warm for the rest of your life, which won't be long because you'll get eaten by the Yeti.
Superhero.
That's a good point.
I mean, not wrong.
You did just say she was a superhero.
She's a super
but anyway,
villain.
That's the end of this podcast.
Okay, yeah, so let's conclude this.
We're concluding it right now at 27 plus minutes.
Yep.
A longer one for the one recently, but
yep.
Thanks
yep. Well,
for listening, and I hope you enjoyed our really randomness.
It's
today.
Not really any more random than other times.
It just felt more random than this morning.
That's because you're sober.
Okay, Rick.
All right.
Like, comment, subscribe, and do those things that you follow your heart.
You.